Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Video News Endscreen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from Endscreen Media joins me from roasting Sunnyvale. Hey, Colin, you sweating?
I am. We had 103 degrees on Sunday. I do not ever remember it being that hot. It's going to be 96 today, so... But I think we're seeing an end to the big heat here in the Southwest today. We should see things cool down next few days.
All right. Well, we've had some heat here and humidity on the East Coast too, so we can relate, but getting better. So summer is upon us, I guess, is the only thing that we can say, right?
That's it. More to come, I'm sure.
No doubt. Well, we have two interesting things we want to talk about today on our podcast. The first is something that you were very involved with, a very cool scientific study that kind of revealed the impact of streaming video quality that was done by Akamai and a research company called Sensum. So you're going to take us through some of those really interesting results. I'll chip in a little bit, and then we're going to transition and talk about Apple and original programming, two new producers hired last Friday, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that might mean. So why don't you go ahead and take us away on the Akamai Sensum research?
Oh, I'd love to. I really love this study, Will, because one of the problems that we have is there are plenty of survey results that tell us that consumers hate bad quality. But there's really no real empirical data that tells us that's the case, right? So, and as we know, people very often say things, but they don't do anything about it. They make no reaction to it. A great example is, 30 or 40% of people say they may or will cut the cord or switch pay TV operator. But when it actually comes down to it, only about 9% of people do every quarter. So, there's a big difference there. And this Akamai Sensum data, it sort of gets to the core of it. And the reason it generates this empirical data is because Sensum is a company that really does biometric measurement and research. So what they basically did was they got a bunch of people in and they hook them up to sensors that measure their heart rate, how much they're sweating. And it turns out that this is a really good measure, a good indication of engagement. And so what they did was, they hooked them all up and they measured these and they turned this into an engagement measure. And what they found was really interesting. So just, watching video, just average type of video, nothing particularly intense happening, there was a big difference. There was a 10% difference that they measured in engagement between watching in really higher quality and lower quality. And so we're talking about the difference between Ultra HD and HD here, something of that degree. But what's really interesting is that difference is amplified when you have very intense moments of action. And it becomes 20%. So really, higher quality, if you're a video provider, higher quality really does draw your viewer in. This Sensum data really shows it. It's pretty compelling. The other thing they looked at, which I thought was really interesting, was they looked at what happens when something bad happens, when you've got poor quality, and in particular, when you get buffering. And I'm sure some of our listeners have seen that show, Lie to Me. It's a great show. If you haven't seen it, it's all on Netflix, so go check it out. But basically in this show, this guy, Dr. Lightman, can recognize micro expressions and figure out if people are lying and anything. Well, it turns out this is a real thing. It's not a pretend thing. Mm-hmm. Sensum used what they call facial coding techniques where they can measure instantaneous emotional reactions of the test subjects while they're watching video. And while these people were watching the videos in this testing, they were actually had a camera trained on them so they could see their expressions. And when they hit this buffering event, it was pretty amazing what they saw. They said they saw there was a difference in emotional scores between the people who didn't see the buffering and the people who did. There was a 27% increase in surprise. Now, that you might think that that might be a good thing, but in this case, it's not, because everything else was bad. So happiness decreased 14%, focus dropped 8%, and they got a big bump in negative emotions like disgust and sadness. Boy, disgust sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? They bumped up 9% and 7% respectively. So basically, you got a decrease of 22% in positive emotions, and an increase of 16% in negative emotions. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And there was one other test that they did that I thought was pretty interesting. They used, so they basically showed people a word and they had to respond positive or negative to this, their reaction to this word, thinking about the brand associated with the video that they'd just watched. And interestingly, they'd convinced the participants that they were watching these videos under different business models. So, for example, one was a transactional VOD where maybe they'd rented the movie, and another one was free ad-supported, so they were watching it for free. And what they found was that it was interesting because they had to react within a half a second, so they really couldn't think and analyze. And what this does is this gives you like a gut reaction, a quick reaction to what was going on. And what they found was that those that had purchased scored the word captivating 22% less with the low quality video than the high quality. And those who were watching for free associated the word boring 43% more with low quality experiences than high quality. Now, they said that they also found they didn't really see that, you know, obviously they did this across a whole range of videos and a whole range of business models, not just transactional, so SVOD. And this was the only thing that sort of popped as being really, really relevant. But the interesting thing here is it sort of implies that bad quality has a rub-off effect on the brands that mm-hmm. are bringing it. So, you know, if you're a big brand like Disney or a big brand like Netflix, quality really matters because you end up reinforcing very negative opinions and ideas about your service over time if you don't maintain quality. So very interesting stuff, and really nice to see some empirical data on this. But did you see anything else, Will?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And one of the takeaways that I had, Colin, was that first of all, I think it's just extremely cool that this company, Sensum, has these advanced technologies that allow them to measure things that would otherwise not be measurable, sort of these micro reactions and, you know, physical reactions that are really, you know, kind of surface new insights about how people are reacting. I think that just as a baseline is really cool. But one thing I will say is that for me, it underscores just how high the bar is that TV delivery has set for video. And, you know, the reality is that I think for most people, when they turn on the TV, they are expecting a practically error-free, 100% guaranteed video delivery experience. And, you know, then you get into the online video realm and it's not always that way. And yet people are thinking of it more and more as TV. They're watching long form, they're watching sports, et cetera. And they're bringing those expectations with them. And when they fall short, there's, you know, serious implications, as I think you've, you know, outlined well in citing the data. So just very interesting, I think, to try to understand, you know, the impact as we're transitioning from TV delivery into video delivery.
Yeah, and I don't know, there was some interesting Comscore data this week as well, Will, on virtual MVPDs. And you're so right. You know, when people move onto these virtual MVPDs like like Sling TV and DirecTV Now, they're really treating them just like TV. They were saying average viewership on these services on the television is 5.3 hours. You know, that a day, sorry, 5.3 hours a day. Yeah. So this is just television, right? People are just watching this exactly the way that they would watch regular TV. And as you say, it's incumbent on the providers to deliver TV quality. That's what's expected and that's what people want. So this data just really reinforces so well, I think, how important it is for video providers to focus on quality. And by the way, for the people telling the stories, the people that actually put those shows together, they want to put them on services where they're going to be delivered with quality. Because, hey, some of this bad news of bad quality gets rubbed off on their brand. So, you know, that's really something that they should keep in mind.
Yeah,
I think that anyway, we'll include links to this research. It's available for free from Akamai's website, so we'll include links when we publish the podcast. But there was some other interesting news from a company I love to talk about, Apple. Apple this week, and you wrote about it. So, what did you tell us? What happened?
When you say you like to talk about Apple, what you really meant was a company you like to trash.
No. I fair dues. Well, yeah, I probably do like to trash him a bit.
belatedly, a concession. In any event, we digress. So, yeah, what's interesting here, Colin, is that as was widely reported in the media, a lot of industry buzz around the fact that last Friday morning, Apple announced that it had hired the two presidents of Sony Pictures Television, Zach Van Amberg and Jamie Ehrlich, to, quote, oversee Apple's video programming, whatever that might be. No other explanation given, of course. And this is a couple of producers. These are a couple of producers that have had a real string of TV successes. They've been behind Breaking Bad and The Crown on Netflix and The Blacklist. And I think they've won like 36 Emmys between them or something to that extent. So, you know, these two guys are players, as they say. And you know, it's hard to believe that they would go to Apple without there being some, you know, pretty serious understanding or agreement about what Apple is actually going to be doing in video. And so it's a great start bringing these two guys on board. But as I tried to point out in a post from earlier this week, yes, indeed, it's a great start. But the question is, a start toward what? And what Apple really needs is an overall video strategy and a viable business model for original programming, in particular, one that really leverages its company's assets, but also, of course, recognizes just how brutally brutally competitive the video landscape has become. And you and I have talked on this podcast before about how Apple has been dithering for so many years, spinning its wheels, trying to get TV networks to unbundle themselves in this, you know, sort of fantastical attempt to provide an a la carte type of TV service. More recently, they've released a show called Planet of the Apps, which feels very much just like a Shark Tank copycat. And it's available on Apple Music. It's not even a video service anchoring a video service unto itself. It's just part of Apple Music. And so what I tried to point out was that, you know, I think Apple, in order for them to succeed, they need to do a lot more than just bring two high-profile producers on. They need to figure out what their business model and strategy is going to be. And the problem is that the longer they've dithered, the more that other big companies have invested huge sums and actually carved out very strong places for them in the ecosystem. So Netflix, of course, has become the preeminent provider of inexpensive SVOD services. YouTube has become the preeminent provider of free ad-supported video with, again, highly targeted ads. Amazon has become the king of using video to support its e-commerce model. Then we've got all these other companies like Facebook and Snapchat and Hulu and Comcast and AT&T, and the list goes on and on, who have all obviously invested heavily in both defending their businesses and growing in new ways. And then you just add on top of that that we're in this era of what we call peak TV, which is more scripted originals being made than ever before, approximately 450 this year alone, up like 10 or 11x from just 10 years ago. So even when you make a great show, it can get so completely lost given the noise and the sheer volume of originals that are now being introduced into the market, that unless you really have a strong business model and leverage your assets, it's almost just pointless to even make the shows in the first place. So anyway, that was sort of the thesis of what I said about Apple. And, you know, I don't necessarily expect that Apple's going to open the kimono on day one and say, okay, here's what we're going to be doing. But it's just been so many years that we all wonder what in the world are they up to over there, while other companies have zipped ahead, that I thought it was striking that now they've brought on board these two high-profile producers, and yet we still haven't heard anything more, any more insights about what they actually plan to do. So how's that for a little trash talking of Apple?
Well, I tell you, I'll let you do the trash talking.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going to – I actually think I think that Apple has a problem if they're looking to introduce a service that's a broad service like a virtual MVPD or something like that. And the reason is simple, that they lack the scale that they need, I think, to make a success of a service like that. And really, it's the scale at the television wheel that really counts. As you and I both know, television loves engagement, and engagement you get at the television set. And the problem for them is that Apple TV is doing okay, but it's an also-ran. I mentioned the ComScore data a little bit earlier, and ComScore gave some numbers around who the leaders were in the streaming media players. And the leader is Roku. 18% of Wi-Fi homes have a Roku. And I think number two is Prime TV, Amazon Fire TV with 16%. And I think Chromecast, what they said was 8%, and I'm afraid Apple TV is a very poor 6% in the rear. So they really lack, I think, scale to be able to launch a major service like that, unless they're willing to go completely across platform. So I think what their strategy may be is a little bit smaller than that. I think what they're really looking to do is to provide, in effect, what boils down to a channel. And so they're looking to fill, quote, a channel's worth of content. And that's why these producers could actually be pretty useful to them, because they will help them marshal together a channel's worth of interesting content, which they can add in, as they're doing right now, into the iTunes music service, and maybe broaden that a little bit. And that allows them, if they stay focused on where they do have scale, which is obviously in handsets, if they stay focused on shorter form content, then I think there's something that they can do pretty interesting here. But maybe it's just, maybe we're just wrong to be expecting Apple to be doing everything, boiling the ocean and attacking the virtual MVPD market and, quote, reinventing television. If we scale back our expectations, maybe these two hirings make a little bit more sense. What do you think?
Well, I mean, to what you just described, I guess the question then is, how do they monetize that, quote, channel that you described? Is it ad supported? Is it subscription? Is it a giveaway? I mean, what is it exactly?
Well, one of the things about Apple, of course, is that they're not a one-trick pony. And iTunes is still, it's not the number one, but it is still a very important platform for the sale and rental of movies and video in general. And of course, it's dominant in music, or one of the dominant platforms in music. So looked at from that perspective, just in the same way that Amazon is leveraging its Prime Video service to help it sell other video providers, and as Jeff Bezos is wont to say, to sell boots, Apple can do the same thing here by drawing more people in and getting them to spend more money in iTunes on rentals and music. So I think there is some sense to this, and that's how I will be looking to monetize. I don't know, maybe they'll start doing advertising, but I'm not sure it's a necessary condition for them to go ahead with what they're doing. I just not sure that this is an environment where they will see breakout hits.
Yeah.
Of the size of Breaking Bad, but boy, I mean, it could be very interesting in drawing people into that platform and boosting sales and rentals.
But don't we know that sales and rentals are already a relatively small part of the overall monetization of video, and in some ways even getting smaller all the time with the proliferation of SVOD?
So that is it is certainly true to say that rentals are not doing very well. You are seeing small growth in both rentals and electronic sell-through in digital. Nothing like the growth. I mean, these are 5% increases, 10% increases, whereas subscription video on demand continues to increase 25% year on year. So there's still tremendous growth in that business, but you are seeing some growth here. So I don't know, maybe this can help Apple regain its dominance in that market, because frankly, Amazon has just been kicking butt in that market just the way it has with SVOD, doing well with SVOD in the channels program inside of Amazon's channels program. So, they've got some ground to make up, and maybe they've just decided that that's where they're going to make it up. They're going to make it up in the iTunes rental arena and get people to sign up for iTunes Music, and that's good enough.
Yeah, I mean, we need to wrap in a couple seconds here, but I guess I'd just say two last quick things to that. One is that feels like a relatively modest opportunity for a company Apple's size with their resources to basically be looking at video as that limited strategy. And then the other thing I'd say is, man, if I were Van Elmberg and Ehrlich and that was the opportunity that was being presented, given probably anywhere, that would feel really underwhelming.
Yeah.
We're going to go kill ourselves to create shows like, Breaking Bad and The Crown, and they're going to only be available for sale or rental, which is a teeny tiny part of the market. Like, what? Wait, no way. So it does feel to me like they've got more going on. But again, it's felt like that for years and nothing has materialized. So it's a little bit confusing, but we're not going to obviously crack that nut in this conversation.
We aren't. I agree with you. I mean, would I have, with their background, would I have gone to Apple to do what I just said? Probably not. Probably not. So
unless you're offered, just gobs and gobs of money that can't be guaranteed money that can't be turned down.
Yeah. Well, I got to believe that these gentlemen are doing okay. So I got to believe that what they're really looking for is to make great, great quality content. So,
And have it be watched.
You bet.
That's not just make it, but have it be, have it be like The Crown or Breaking Bad that becomes iconic program.
And that's the thing that's the mystery to me, Will. Apple just doesn't bring scale at television. And is where, if you're going to make long-form content, that is where you want it to be watched, because that's, that's where you get the engagement. And look at the Sensum data shows, you want it watched in great quality on that big television set where you get the best engagement. That's the satisfying thing for a storyteller, and the Apple doesn't have the scale there.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're echo chambering a little bit now, so we should probably wrap up. We'll no doubt have more on this and plenty more new topics for next week as well.
You bet. And I really, I'd love to hear from our listeners. Let us know what you think. Post your comments on either Will's blog or my blog about this topic. We'd love to hear what you think.
All right, Colin, great chatting. And thanks, everybody, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News InScreen Media Podcast. We'll see you all again next week.